that let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for the gift of your very self, and of your word and of your spirit. And we pray that you might help us understand and grow more to be like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, what does life look like when we live in harmony with God? When our lives are shaped and transformed by his Holy Spirit? Whatever we might think our answer is, well, Galatians chapter 5 and 6 does offer us answers to my question about life that is shaped and transformed by the Spirit of God. In the passage, we hear that we're called to walk by the Spirit, chapter 5, verse 16. Verse 18, we're to be led by the Spirit. Verse 22, we'll find the famous fruit of the Spirit I'll be returning to. Verse 25, we're to live by the Spirit. And chapter 6, verse 8, talks about sowing to the Spirit. So looking at this passage, the most important thing to remember is that all the teaching, all the wisdom, all the instruction and commands that we find in this passage, the practical Christian wisdom, is not there to encourage us to try harder. The Bible makes a clear and absolute distinction between trying harder in the sense of self-improvement versus being transformed by the Spirit of God's work within us. This is about outcome of being with the Spirit rather than our efforts. I've chosen two aspects of the work of God's Spirit in our life. We could preach a whole sermon series on that passage from Galatians 5 and 6. Oh, good idea. I will at some point. Especially engaging on a bit about sharing all the good things and people who teach each other the word. That's another story. Two aspects I've chosen today. One, the fruit of the Spirit. The famous passage in chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The only reason I can remember those is back in the 1970s, I was taught a terrible song about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control against self, there is no law. That's always stayed in my head, so it's very important what we sing, because we remember things. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:23, that's the first thing. We have fruit to bear. Speaking as a non-gardening, non-horticulturist, we have fruit to bear. Second thing is, we have a destiny to reap. The less widely known passage in chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A person reaps what they sow. Whoever sows to please their flesh or their sinful nature, from the sinful nature will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So just looking at the dynamics of the spiritual life here, first there is fruit to bear. Secondly, there is a destiny to reap. Well, the fruit of the Spirit here is not just a list of 9 Christian virtues. It's a description of the character of Jesus. Because I hope he comes to mind when you hear about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is a summary picture of the character of Jesus. And it is the universal pattern of Christian transformation, because God is in the business of making us more like Jesus. That's the good news. And this is the one fruit of the Spirit. One and one only. Because the Greek word here is singular, in contrast to the many works of the flesh in the previous verses, there is one fruit of the Spirit. Because these 9 good things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, they're one thing. They're all of a piece, a part. The character of Jesus formed in us. And that's what the Spirit of God is doing within Christian people. He's making us more like Jesus. And that's why we grow in, yes, you guessed it, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, not self-improvement. It's not trying harder. It's growth empowered by the Spirit. The fruit is the outcome of God's Spirit within us, not our good intention or effort. The fruit is outcome, not effort. Well, the first thing we recognize is that every day, every hour, every moment, God is working on this project in our life. It's a fundamental purpose that God has for every one of us. It's God's highest priority as we go about the business of life. It's 24/7. Whether you're listening to a sermon or receiving communion, but just as much as when you're at home or at work or at school or at college, even with the pressures and demands of life, enduring trials, feeling joyful or overwhelmed, this is God's word in you, in any and every situation that we face as Christian people. God's deepest desire is that we grow to be more like Jesus. Whatever our situation, whatever the state of our faith or life right now, more than anything else, we can desire this work of grace in our life, displaying more of the character of Jesus Christ by the power of His Spirit. Well, as I've said, there is one fruit of the Spirit, the character of Christ, and the nine elements are not to be divided. There's no need to pick and choose, you know. Oh, I quite like the sound of love and joy and peace. A bit more of that would be good. But I don't seem quite so keen to learn patience and self-control. Doesn't sound quite as fun. But this is the fundamental work of the Spirit within us, that those facets make up the likeness of Christ. We don't get to pick and choose. The Spirit's gifts and His miracles in our lives may be more spectacular, but this fruit of character formation, nothing is more significant. We never confuse the spectacular with the significant in God's economy in our lives. Now, of course, this picture here is a picture of slow organic growth. We are talking fruit, after all. Remember here, that's a picture of slow organic growth that comes about in due season. I mean, it's exciting sometimes when we're aware that we've made some significant progress. Perhaps there's something we've been struggling with for a long time, and after praying and being prayed for and cared for, it's a very community-oriented passage, if you remember, as we heard it, where people are supporting us and working with us, and maybe people with counseling gifts or others, we suddenly realize, yes, we have made a breakthrough. Looking back, we can see the difference, and that's great. And we say, praise God, hallelujah. Some of the rest of the time, we're not so clear. It seems a bit more of a, a slog, but our progress is less clear. Maybe we keep fitting in two steps forward, but then sometimes we feel we've taken one back, or maybe three. Because fruit takes time to grow. It develops in a season after times when it seems like nothing's happening, when it can feel like a barren winter season. But spring comes, and the fruit. And the kind of real change we're talking about, of growing in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, but it takes time. You've had a lifetime to get to where we are now. So it's unlikely that a quick prayer is going to fix things right now. We rejoice, we thank God when His grace does a miracle in our lives. But a lot of the time, we have to be prepared for slower, organic, fruit-bearing growth. So that would be the first thing, the fruit of the Spirit. As we live in harmony with the Spirit, so we look to see more of this fruit in our lives. Secondly, I mentioned, was we reap a destiny. Sowing and reaping. We've had fruit growing, now we're doing sowing and reaping. We appreciate the power and significance of our character in that we have a destiny to reap. Chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A person reaps what they sow. That is a law of the universe. It is as real as gravity and as dangerous to ignore as if you were standing on the edge of a cliff. The person reaps what they sow. I've heard this biblical teaching about sowing and reaping summed up like this. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Because our character is how we display the result of a settled outlook of thoughts and actions and choices. It is eternally significant. Value your character above everything else. The old story is estate agents say, property agents, that there are three things that matter about the house. Location. When Tony Blair became Prime Minister in the UK, he talked about he was going to major on three things: education. I would hope, as Christian people, we are known for character. A character defined and growing in the likeness of Christ by the work of God's Spirit. And to build character will probably involve painful lessons. Are we prepared to fight the selfishness and compromise in our lives? Because nobody else can do that except ourselves with the help of God's Spirit. The language here is of the battle. It's about warfare. So if you expected a spirit-filled life was going to be all calm and just gliding through life, forget it. It is the language of the battle, verse 17. For the sinful nature or the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do whatever you want. There is a fundamental conflict of interest here. There is the self-interest that tries to squeeze out God's interest. It's a conflict about the direction of our life. Am I going God's way of having it developing and growing my character, or am I feeding my own selfish character? And the battle is described as going on between the sinful nature, or the flesh is sometimes translated, and the spirit. It's not about body versus soul, or physical versus spiritual. It's about two outlooks. It's about our natural self, our insatiable ego that always demands more and more, that will not accept God's authority and will not depend on God's mercy. That's the root of the sinful nature here. And that lies within us all. If you go back to your earliest childhood, I suspect no one ever had to teach us to lose our temper or throw a tantrum. Nobody had to teach us not to share our toys. That's mine. Very easy phrase for a child to learn. And that battle goes on with that sinful nature within us. There's a rather sordid description about how that works out in verse 19 of chapter 5. We get three words about sex. We get sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. In verse 20, the next thing you have to do with religion, idolatry, witchcraft. And the next eight are all about personal relationships and how they go wrong. The final two are about drinking to excess and all that follows from it. So, sex, religion, relationships, drinking, who says the Bible's not up to date? Unchallenged and unchanged by the power of God, such a life spawns a character that leads to destruction. That's the destiny. But when we come to Christ and His Spirit lives within us, that's when the battle is on. That a new way is possible. We can now live by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. We can develop the fruit of the Spirit, and we can keep in step with the Spirit. If we're prepared to get involved in that battle. We're not helpless spectators while our nature and the Spirit battle it out. The battle involves the realm of our choices. When temptation comes, am I going to stand firm and grow in the character of Christ or not? When the trials of life come, am I going to ask God, oh Lord, why is this dreadful thing happening to me? As though God is supposed to organize the universe for my benefit. Or will I have the courage to pray, Lord, what can I learn through this? What are you wanting to teach me right now? And how can I grow more like Jesus battle will be hard. And if you're feeling that it's really hard, or you're discouraged, or you're defeated, take that as a good sign. You're in the battle. Because the language of this passage is hard language. It's about don't gratify, don't give in. Verse 24, crucify. The flesh. This is severe language. It's painful, decisive, and difficult choices. And at times it's going to feel hard. Because fundamentally, we generally grow in character when God puts us in situations that demand the opposite. As I've said before, when we say to God, Lord, give me patience right now, He tends not to answer that prayer with a magnificent zap of extra patience. He tends to put us in situations where we have to wait for things. We learn self-control by saying no to things we'd otherwise take. We learn faithfulness at the point where everything seems to be saying, oh, give up, don't bother. But the faithfulness reflects the faithfulness of God. We grow through making painful, decisive, and determined choices, and the messy business of failing and starting again. I have to mention that ominous phrase in verse 21. Those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're not talking about people who make mistakes, who slip up, who have lapses and fall back into sin. But these are people who choose a determined, settled, and unchanging lifestyle in opposition to God. So it's not those who make mistakes. And if you feel you make mistakes, well, join the club. That verse is not about you. It's about those who have chosen a settled opposition to the way of the Spirit. Now, of course, all change, all progress, well, it can be hard. Some people love change. Some people thrive on change. Others hate it. Different people will hear it in different ways. And all significant change in our life is hard. It's how it is. I say we've got a lifetime to get to here, so changing things, it's not easy. There's a friend of mine who's a very gifted evangelist and church planter and speaker, and he often gets invited to speak to churches at church weekend and elsewhere about church growth. And he generally asks the church, first of all, you know, who would like their church to grow? There's generally quite a lot of hands. As far as the hands goes up, there's the next question. That's great. And who would like their church to change? Well, the hands are often less quick to go up. Of course, you can't have it both ways. It's a wonderful kind of paradox. Yes, we want to grow, but we don't want to change. We'll change while keeping everything the same. No, sorry. Not how it works. Faith involves change and growth. And some people, of course, well, we feel, well, we tried it before, so we get discouraged. Or we tried it before, and it was just too painful. Or we tried it before, and it's just too scary. And what if it doesn't work? But just be aware that everybody is like that. Everybody's life in this life is like a building site, where a work in progress. And building sites tend to be messy and a bit confusing. But we are confident that God will bring to completion the good work that He has begun within us. So hopefully we'll reflect and ponder how far you see the fruit of the Spirit growing, how far you feel, honestly, you're sowing to the sinful nature or to the Spirit. But do take great care with the question, how am I changing? Have I really changed? At least two reasons. Firstly, we're often not aware of how we're changing. Often it's those around us who see things that change. But secondly, just don't compare yourself with others. Because that's a killer. You know, you didn't start where they started or when they started. Don't compare yourself with anybody else. Only compare yourself with yourself. And only then over the long haul, I can talk about slow, vegetable, fruit-bearing growth. You may well have heard the story of John Newton, who wrote the hymn Amazing Grace, after his own amazing experience of God's grace. And he was the captain of a slave trading ship. He was a massive drinker, And he basically slept with any of the female slaves that he liked. And it took years after his conversion to Christ to change that way of life. He famously wrote this in his diary. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I should be. I'm not what one day I will be in heaven. But thank God, I'm not what I once was. That's the call, by God's grace, to grow up more like Jesus, bearing the fruit of the Spirit and reaping the destiny of eternal life. Let me pray for us for a moment. Father, we thank you that you offer us the hope of growth and change. We rejoice with those of us here this morning who are aware of your presence and your power and the changes that you're making in our lives. We want to be alongside those for whom the journey of change is hard or confusing. And we pray for those who are just uncertain what their next step is. Father, we thank you that you give us your very self and your word and your spirit. And we pray that together we would grow up into Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.